Yes, please, John.
Aham haritava padai kamula.
Aham haritava padai kamula.
Dasanudaso pavitasmi puya.
Dasanudaso pavitasmi puya.
Manas maritasu pater gunamste.
Manas maritasu pater gunamste.
Vak karma karotu kaya.
Vinita karma karotu kaya.
So maybe one might see.
The servant of your servant.
Abhidasmi. Shall I become?
Again.
Manaha.
My mind.
Smarita.
May remember.
Asupate. Of the Lord of my life. Guna. The attributes.
Of your Lordship.
Vinita.
May chant.
My words.
Karma.
Activities of service to you.
Gadotu.
May perform.
Kaya.
My body. My dear devotees, I think it is good if we get the context in which this verse is spoken so that we can understand a little bit more. Like every day, I request all of you to have a little peaceful atmosphere. We are setting the translation up, right? Yes, also our vegetable, Sachi Wallace in the back, please do keep a very peaceful atmosphere so that we can better concentrate. So, my dear devotees, it's important that those of you who are not coming on the bridge to the Vritta seminar because of so many other services and then seminars. I would like to give you a small context. What I really think would be very nice if maybe one of you who is kind by nature is somehow helping devotees to solve their different things and maybe help me. Prabhu's Buni Kuduni. Now is time for class, not for talk. Talk is other times. Good. So the context is like this. There are two very powerful beings pitted against each other for a fight which is ending all other fights. It is clear one of them will not leave the battlefield alive. It is Indra with all the heavenly army behind him, all the devatas. He's supported by the blessings of rishis, saints, because they have an interest that this ultimate battle is going on in the favor of the demigods and all the values they stand for. And on the other side is a powerful leader, Vritasura, who acts like the commander-in-chief of all the demons. They have all come. Rakshas, Yakshasas, Asuras, Danavas, Daityas, all the different races as they are spreading through the universe of demons are on that side. And they meet in a historic battlefield much bigger than the battlefield of Kurukshetra on this plane, and another plane in the upper regions in the universe. And it looks that the demons are getting the overhand, because Vritta is so powerful that he can expand his body to any size he desires, so much so that, as his name suggests, he, Vritta, covers everything in the universe. He's really powerful, more powerful than any evil force you have heard. Even Ravana cannot compare with Vritta. So they are pitted against a fight, and Indra uses a very powerful club against Vritta. He aims it, he hurls it at Vritta, and Vritta playfully catches the club, makes a masterful martial art turn, and returns it at Indra's chariot, the Ratna chariot carrier, Airavata, who goes in his knees, his head is split. Indra is hurled and thrown over the battlefield, and he lands with a crush so powerful that he is dumped. But strangely, Vritta has not aimed at Indra. Vritta has not killed the devatas, and Vritta waits and does not take advantage to now launch at Indra and finish him off. Instead, Vritta stops his fight and says, "Don't you want to restore life to your carrier?" Indra goes, touches Airavata, and Airavata comes back to life. They rise again, they confront this monster, and Vritta says, "Now what are you going to do? Please, kill me now. Use the weapon which Lord Narayan has given you, you faithless fool. The Vraja, that will kill me, not a club." Indra is puzzled. He cannot act. He tells me I should kill him, and he gives me the means why I kill. Maybe that's another trick of him. He just does not know what to do. At this moment, the most amazing episode in the Bhagavatam takes place. This Vritta, who is obviously acting as the enemy of the devatas, gets frustrated the more Indra hesitates. Vritta had said that the greatest pleasure would be for him to end his body, and he had assured Indra, "Do it, do it, do it now. I want to again go back to my lord." After begging Indra in many ways, Prita sees Indra is too bewildered and he turns directly to the Lord of his heart, as it turns out, to take him. And this is these are four prayers which are expressing the sum and essence of Krishna consciousness, you will see. So this is where we are now. And here is the translation. He says, O my Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, will I again be able to be a servant of your eternal servants who find shelter only at your lotus feet? It is said at this moment when he addresses the Lord so feelingly, the Lord appears before him and he says, O Lord of my life, may I again become their servant, means the servant of your servants, so that my mind may always think of your transcendental attributes. My words always glorify those attributes, and my body always engage in the loving service of your Lordship. Isn't that a prayer? No, yes, little. This is a prayer, my dear devotees. It's really done with a heartfelt expression. Prabhupada says, this verse gives the sum and substance of devotional life. What he says? One must first become a servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. Dasanu Dasa. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised, and he also showed by his own example, that a living entity should always desire to be a servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, the maintainer of the gopis. Gopi Bhaktu Kapara Kamala Yor Dasa Dasa Mudasa. This means that one must accept a spiritual master who comes. This means that one must accept a spiritual master who comes in the disciplic succession and is a servant of the servant of the Lord. Under his direction, one must then engage one's three properties, namely his body, his mind, and words. The body should be engaged in physical activity under the order of the master. The mind should think of Krishna incessantly, and one's words should be engaged in preaching the glories of the Lord. If one is thus engaged in the loving service of the Lord, one's life is successful. Can we please again chant this wonderful verse? Nam Hare Dava Padai Kamula.
Nam Hare Dava Padai Kamula.
Dasang Daso Bhavitasmi Bhuya.
Dasang Daso Bhavitasmi Bhuya.
Anasmarita Supate Gunamste.
Anasmarita Supate Gunamste.
Vinita Vakarma Karotikaya.
Vinita Vakarma Karotikaya.
O my Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, will I again be able to be a servant of your eternal servants who find shelter only at your lotus feet? O Lord of my life, may I again become their servant, so that my mind may always think of you. Sorry. So that my mind may always think of your transcendental attributes. My words always glorify those attributes, and my body always engage in the loving service of your Lordship. My dear devotees, I will try to now speak something, but since this is part of a whole series of lectures, I will have to embed it in the context of the whole Vritakatha which is going on. So I will not be able to take all the gems out as far as I have conditioned soul who's blessed this morning by our GBC. Because it's such a very weighty subject, I needed to go for all these blessings. So I won't be able to cover all the aspects. Please forgive me. I can only encourage this verse because it gives the sum and substance of devotional life, Hare Krishna. So I would like to deal with this verse in a specific context, and that is that Britta Sura is praying here for that his relationship with Krishna is again revived. He addresses the Lord very feelingly that he wants to come close to him and serve under the guidance of other servants. And he wants to, he brings out the point, he wants to totally absorb himself in bhakti. For any activity to qualify as bhakti, we have to go to Rupa Goswami's definition of what is bhakti, and he describes bhakti as something which is for Krishna. It is done with the body, the mind, and also the words. And finally, it is done with a certain intention that is to please Krishna. If these three qualities are there in your devotional life, then this is really a bhakti life. If you miss out on one of these qualities, then you are really on the way to develop bhakti, but it cannot be described as uttama bhakti, what you do. Vritta Sura wishes for this full absorption, and he really wishes to go all the way. He wishes that his material attachment and his material conditioned life, which made him be born as a demon, is finished. He wants to go back to Godhead. So, as King Parikshit hears from Shukadev Goswami about this unusual, unexpected phenomena of a Vritta Sura wanting to become a pure devotee, he cannot help himself, but he raises a doubt. He considers the rarity of pure devotion to Lord Vishnu. It's so rare to become a pure devotee. How is it then that Vritta, the Vipra, who is outwardly a demon, is all of a sudden one of the greatest devotees? And in this verse, the answer is partly given. To bring this very high subject into our ability, I'd like to tell you an amazing story which which somehow turns around in ISKCON. I heard it from many authorized speakers, but I cannot give you the reference. It's about a Brahmana and a prostitute. And both of them are neighbors, and the Brahmana does his Brahminical activities, very pure activities of puja. He eats properly, he goes to bed, and he keeps the rules and regulations. There's the prostitute. She's living her profession and receives one man after the other. So the Brahmana is naturally very upset with this. Who wouldn't be upset to have such a neighbor? He rolls for every man which he observes coming to that lady with the of the arts of the flesh. He rolls a stone before her, so that at the end there is a stone wall around her house, because she saw so many men in her profession. And now he's really angry. He is at the window, he watches and he both counts and rolls the stones. And she, on the other hand, is very, very embarrassed. She prays to the Lord, "My Lord, what can I do? What to do? I have this sinful birth. I don't know how to make my living. I'm useless. Oh, my Lord, my Lord, my Lord." So it happens that both of them leave the body at the exact same time, and somehow they arrive at the gates of Vaikuntha. So the Vaikuntha dutas, the Vishnu dutas, allow the prostitute passage. Brahmana sees this and goes, "What? You're mistaking us, maybe because we have given up our bodies, I'm the Brahmana, she is the woman of the sin." And the Vishnu dutas say, we know, but see, you will have to take birth a few more times in this world, and she is ready to go." "What? Do you know what she did?" "Yes, we know. But she thought always of Krishna, whereas you always thought of the prostitute." And it is said in our scriptures, this is Bhakti scriptures, we may not appreciate this verse, but it is there. The whole goal of all rules and regulations is to always think of Krishna. And just in case we don't agree or don't get it, the second thing is, and to never forget Krishna. It is really clear. There is no arguing around this point. And on the strength of this understanding, difficult to understand thing takes place. Now, whether this is a story of the folklore, or whether this is found like it is in Shastra, it's not about the story, my dear devotees. It is the point is true, is clear. That is that we must take care of our internal hygiene. It's if we have to choose between external hygiene and internal hygiene, hopefully we will never have to do this, and hopefully there's always enough ability to take shower. But to have a pure mind and a pure heart is very important. It's very important. Let us say this much. Where there is thoughts of of the Krishna, of loving devotees, of trying to serve devotees, and very important, very important. So therefore, this katha makes a very important point. Externally, vritta Vitra acts and behaves like a demon, but now we see he's turning to Krishna. And so, what is with this doubt? It's so rare to have pure devotion, but this Vritra did it. Well, you can get a little into Vritra's mind when you study the Sanskrit. He addresses the Lord here as Hari. Aham Hari Tava Pai Padai Kamula. In Gaudiya Vaishnavism, there are several meanings of the word Hari, but two are prominent. Hari means that he takes away the karma bandhana, our bondage due to the karma which we all bring. He is the thief, a good thief. He takes away our karmic bondage. He frees us from our stuff, so to say. And the second is, Hari is so beautiful that he steals the eyes and the hearts of his devotees by his beauty. His beauty means his form, then his Venu Madhurya, the sweet sound of his flute, this sweetness of his love which he gives to the devotees. And his wonderful exchanges with the devotees are four qualities. Krishna is therefore addressed as Hari. And I know when Lord Chaitanya would have this habit, let me try to adjust this a little bit better. It is like a devotee who falls asleep in a boring class. It goes down and down and down this way. So, Bodhidoba. Krishna. Lord Chaitanya would always say, Hari Hari, the Vaishnavas in Gaudiya and Gauranga's time. They would remind each other, Hari Hari. I don't want to start a new fashion, but Hari Hari is very good. It means the Lord takes away our karmic bondage. These karma bandha, you know, these ropes of karma which bind us to our conditioned nature. That we come to the movement, but we all have our conditioned nature and our very easy to recognize material desires and all of these things. And he also is a very, very sweet. He is very, very wonderful. He is, it's described when Lord Krishna walked with his coward boyfriends through the forest of Vrindavan, and while he walked, he would disappear only for a moment behind a tree. You know, the coward boys who were so enchanted by the sweetness of his form, when they didn't see it, they would cry, "Oh, I'm here. That's so sweet, overwhelmingly sweet, overwhelmingly fascinating. Therefore, when you are developing bhakti or devotion for him, you will be overwhelmed with love and attention. There's nothing else in the heart, just great attraction to the Lord who attracts everyone. So he addresses the Lord like this, Hari, Hari, take away my karma bandhana, my bondage, take away my body, take me to you. But why is Vritra saying this? Well, he is a great devotee, my dear devotees, who due to a curse was born in a very unfortunate situation for him. There is a story, and I would like to repeat it for you because it will purify us and it will give you an explanation why it was possible that he prayed this and three other extraordinary prayers. This background needs to be understood. In his previous life, he was Maharaj Shitaketu, and he had a direct sangha with Lord Sankarshan. There's a very beautiful painting in the sixth canto in our BBT. So once he wanted to hear the Bhagavatam from Lord Shiva on the mountain Kailash. This is what devotees like to do. They like to come together, and it's not just that they want to hear the Bhagavatam, they want to relish it. They want to like something like this extraordinary good pilsas. We want to come together and relish it. If you have not yet done it, even if you have an anti-pizza diet, break it. It's worth it, at least for one time. You know, it's really sad. And it is to be relished. No? So Bhagavatam is not just to be heard as a chore, as a duty. Oh yes, Bhagavatam class. If I don't come, I don't look good in the eyes of others to the class, but I really couldn't care less. No, this is not the right mood. You should relish the subjects, because they will transform your heart and instill bhakti there. So he wanted to go to the Bhagavatam class of Lord Shiva on mountain Kailash, and he came in an airplane. He had brought some apsaras with him who glorified the Lord. They had kirtan while they were on the Vimana. I take all these informations from the tikkas, various Sri Taswami, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, etc. So when his Vimana came closer to Kailash, he saw these beautiful gardens surrounding mountain Kailash. And he saw beautiful trees, and then he sees this amazing banyan tree, which is very, very big. And he says, he sees there is a seat for Lord Shiva. He speaks, and there are many, many sadhus around him who relish Lord Shiva's ecstatic narrations of spiritual content. And he knows it's the right spot. It's the right spot. So why, as he comes closer, he sees something. This is unexpected. He sees on the lap of Lord Shiva his dear wife Parvati. I heard that in Croatia in the past there was one electrical engineer who said he's a guru, and he would give classes, and he had some. Anyways, it's so distasteful. I don't want to go into detail. He had some associates sitting on his. It's a very unusual. So Chitaketu knew Lord Shiva. Oh, Param Vaishnava. He is not under the influence of Kamadev like ordinary people. In fact, he burned Kamadev with his glance to ashes. So he is Lord Shiva, beyond all questioning it. But still, because he was friendly, he laughed humorously. Like this. When Shiva heard the laughter of his friend, Chitaketu, he smiled in good taste, in good humor. But he noticed Parvati was first getting ashamed, and then it turned into a rage. His temperamentful wife became full of wrath. And he tried to stop Parvati. Parvati, it's all right. Parvati was on the go, we say, in low class English. She was wrong. She has a point. So she started to say, so you think Shiva makes mistakes? Probably you also think all the sadhus here don't see his mistake. And it needs you, a very pure perceptive Vaishnava, to come here and correct the greatest of Vaishnavas. You are so proud. You are so self-deceived. There is only one remedy against you. I will curse you. It's for your interest. Become... And Shiva was getting helpless. But Parvati could not be stopped. Become a demon! Vroom! The curse came. Now Chitaketu was a great Vaishnava. He could have flared up. You got it all wrong. Women always have something wrong. But he was humble Vaishnava. He understood. Everything is under the control of the Lord. And he folded his hands and he accepted the curse. Now this brought so much appreciation in the heart of Lord Shiva that he said, just see these Vaishnavas. Just see these Vaishnavas. Can you see these Vaishnavas? How they act? The Vaishnavas are not even afraid to go into the hell. I forgot the verse. Maybe someone can help me. Narayana Parashrave. Na kutashtha. Svaga Pavaga Narakeshu Api Tulyata Kashina. The Tulyata, they see with an equal eye residents in the heavenly planets or in the hellish planet. Because why? Because they are always with Narayan, the Lord in their hearts. They are always there. When in this situation or that situation, they in happiness and distress, in birth and death, in fame and infamy, let's bring it down to to our present movement, in being understood or being misunderstood, in having pimples on the face or no pimples on the face. This was for teenagers. In the ups and downs, the English word is vicissitudes, ups and downs of life, their shelter is in Krishna. There's a great difference, my dear devotees, in trying to find relief and finding shelter. When you only find relief, let us say relief from hunger or relief from tiredness or relief from misunderstanding, my dear devotees, then we will be hungry again, we will be tired again, there will be misunderstanding again. It's the place for this, the world in which we live and the age. But if you find shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna, then your problems are over. Yes, there will be still hunger and thirst and illness, and now our elderly generation amongst Vaishnavas, they look at our young Maharaj as he flies through the air, and I said, yes, in my next body I will fly with you, my dear Maharaj, and on this body I'm becoming a little elderly now, what to do, and so on and so on. This will come, death will come, disease will come, but if you have found shelter, you are satisfied wherever you are, in heavenly or hellish, it doesn't have to be hopefully no one has to go through hellish situations, but you will be sheltered. And we can see this when Vaishnavas leave their bodies, and how sometimes they are so peaceful, and how they preach to us and say, Krishna's there, Krishna's there, don't worry, Krishna's there. And so this is shelter. For this shelter we should aspire. We always work for relief, oh, this relief, that relief. But you will roll. It's Sisyphus work. It's Sisyphus work. So he humbly accepts. Let it be as you have said, my mother. So Shiva says, oh Parvati, you are the witness of the greatness of these desireless souls, the servants of Lord Hari. Because of their devotion, they do not fear any condition, but they see liberation, heaven, and even hell as equal. This is because they are driven and motivated by their devotion to Lord Vasudeva. So Vritasura, at this moment on the battlefield, remembers his past life as a great devotee, just like Jalabharat did. So there's one question now which we need to deal. How is it that a great devotee is cursed like this? I think this question was raised in a different way by our Bhaktiananda Tirtha Maharaj yesterday, when he spoke of his friend who just had made arrangements for going into a new phase of his life and had bought his mobile Grihastha ashram, mobile home, and then most probably he had asked his parents to give him money for this, and then it was cruelly stolen. He asked, why is the Lord doing this? And this question had occupied some of our minds for some time, as Maharaj gave this excellent excellent lecture about the nature, staying in the material nature, and that was a quivering nature of the material energy which puts you through all this. Yes. So the question is an old question. It's by the way, the question which I asked Srila Prabhupada. I can say when I was coming to Krishna consciousness, I knew when I would become a devotee, I would be disinherited. And it was a lot of money. I was still not sure. Can money buy you happiness, or can money not buy you happiness? But I was attached. I was really attached. A car, a good house, hopefully at the Atria, can be purchased, and so on. And I knew my father had told me, if you become a monk, you would distribute everything, and we have not worked for the others, we don't even know them. You will be disinherited. So I needed to ask Prabhupada a question, a probing question. Was it really so good what he said? Then I said, I think there's a contradiction in your philosophy. I took all my courage. It was not yes, I hope it comes back. It was not easy to stand up to Prabhupada and ask him a question which was doubtful. Can someone, what I will do everything, can someone please help me to put this in? I said, I think there's a contradiction. You say Krishna is all good. And then you say Krishna is the creator. He creates everything. So if he's all good, why has he done this messy world? War, hunger, injustice. Prabhupada looked at me. He took his time. he just did an analysis. And then he said, his answer came very forcefully. He said, not God has created this world. You have created this world. My first reaction, rebellious soul, was, really? I have created this world. I create a car. Then I thought, this is not a good place to... I mean, better to be, to think now and and it became clear as he spoke on. I was very shocked because he put the blame to me. It was not Krishna's blame. And then he gave the example of a criminal. It's not that the government wants to create a prison, but because the people turn dangerous into criminals, they need to be locked up. And in this way, they are the cause of prisons, not the government. So here, Prabhupada answers in a slightly different way. He says the personality of God had wanted to bring Chitraketu to Vaikuntha Loka as soon as possible. So the Lord's plan was that Chitraketu be cursed by Parvati to become Vritasura, so that in his next life he could quickly return home back to Godhead. And Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said, the Lord was feeling separation from Chitraketu after giving him wealth along with bhakti. So he gave him the body of Vritasura by the curse of Parvati and then brought him to his side. So Prabhupada continues, there have been many instances in which a devotee acting as a demon has been brought to the kingdom of God by the mercy of the Lord. For Parvati to be embraced by Lord Shiva was natural in a relationship between husband and wife. This was nothing extraordinary for Chitraketu to see. Nonetheless, Chitraketu laughed loudly to see Lord Shiva in that situation, even though he should not have done so. Thus he was eventually cursed, and this curse was the cause of his returning home back to Godhead. So this is now Vritasura. He remembers all this. He remembers, I was a cursed soul. I am a divided soul. I have this problem. I have this conditioned nature. May the Lord now destroy this conditioned nature, and may he take me back into his personal service. May he give me my real life, the life by his side, where I can engage my body, not as a servant of the material energy, where I can engage my mind, not as a servant of the material energy, where I can engage my words, not as a servant of the material energy. I want to engage my body, mind and words as a servant of him only. My dear devotees, you are not the body, not the mind. You are not what the mind wants, what the body tells you. We are cursed, almost, to have this conditioned life. It is a result of our going against Krishna. And it forces us. And the force and pushing does not stop when you dress in dhoti and shave and have a sikha and say Hari Bol instead of hello. It is going on. The energy is going on unless you remember Krishna and you are with Krishna always. It's a bad place to be. But still, in the attempt to adopt to this physical life, we sometimes make compromises. There is a saying, it is totally amazing to see through which types of contortions people are willing to go in order to avoid being themselves. It is totally amazing to see through what types of contortions. Contortions is a difficult word in English. Yeah. What is it in Croatian? Kontacionskis? Iskrivljenost. Iskrivljenost. Does it make sense? Contortion, they twist their life. They try to be something else. The chin comes up and the eyes come down. We say, I have to be careful not that I take my head off. Contortions. We try to be someone we are not. It's all right. You can engage according to your physical, biophysical nature, the body and the mind. You can do what you are good in doing. Don't strive for positions. Do what you are good in doing and engage that fully in Krishna's service. No need to contort your existence because we are not the body and the mind. It's not useful to fight for this and so on. I will end with this. I speak with a few God brothers very intimately, and all of them, as they go older, they begin to understand, or we understand, we share this. I just wish to do what, to give what I can offer to Krishna, where I'm good in. This is my desire. I want to just contribute in the way I'm good in. As a young man, we are contorting ourselves. We want to this and that. We want to look good. We want to this and that. But that's not the goal of life. The goal of life is see what you're good in. There's certain things you have talent for, certain things you don't have talent for. And then engage in the talent, and that will be very useful for your life and the life of others. And you will purify your heart very easily. So, this is a prayer. It's the first of four prayers. I wanted to do all the four, but I can't do. It's a very, very wonderful katha, very useful for our understanding in Krishna consciousness. My dear devotees, I went slightly over time. Sorry, I will not be able to take questions now, but in those who are interested in this subject, we will go into the other other things in our seminar in the afternoon. So I will end the class here. I wish you a wonderful, wonderful day in Krishna consciousness. May Madhva Muni is coming to give us the orientation. No, this is Friday. Then there is only Saturday, and then is summer camp part two. We have to apply what we have learned in our life and wherever we do our service. This is the same. Hare Krishna, I like this subject very much, but I didn't most probably do a good job. Please excuse me, but please, this is a very amazing katha. All the best. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki, Sasi Gauri Jai ki, Gaura Prema.
Hare Krishna.